What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Work to Wellness to Wealth podcast. Y'all should already know something is about to happen tonight because I got my Carolina gear on. And man, I got a guest for you all tonight. So much so, I couldn't even write a script for this young lady I'm about to bring out. She's a classmate of mine from Carolina. And the stuff that we're going to share with you tonight, we're just going to have a conversation. It's going to be a powerful episode. As always, let me tell you, I am not a financial advisor. Neither is my guest. And the information that we share is just for educational purposes only. We're not going to be talking a whole lot about finances tonight, but I don't know where it might go at. But please, as always, do your own due diligence and make decisions with the aid of a professional financial advisor who is aware of the particulars of your unique financial situation. But I'm going to go ahead and bring my guest to the stage. I'm so excited on what we're going to share with you tonight. So you all, please welcome to the Work to Wellness to Wealth podcast stage my classmate, Miss Tanika Huey. What's going on, classmate? I see you representing that Carolina tonight.
Absolutely. Carolina proud, always.
First of all, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We actually connected at homecoming, and we got into a conversation at homecoming, and you was just telling me a little bit of your story, and we'll share that on this episode. But the more that you shared with me, I was just like, this is so powerful. And I mean, it's going to help so many people. So I'm excited to I want to hear your story. And just to give you a little background, Tanika is a travel agent, Green Book Vacations, right?
Green Book Vacations.
So y'all don't play. If y'all need to travel, hey, make sure you holler at her. Definitely operating on the highest level of integrity. And this young lady here has been around the world literally, and what she's learned from those experiences is going to blow your mind when you hear it tonight. So I'm gonna be quiet and I'm gonna let you jump on the microphone, but let's just start here. If you could just tell us a little bit about your story and you know, how did you even get into the travel business and becoming your own travel agent? And let me set it up with this. So the name of this podcast is the Work to Wellness to Wealth podcast. And I named it that because that's the transition that we need to go through. But we get bogged down in that work piece. So much so, the way in my mind that it's supposed to work is your first foundation to being able to live a well life. You know, get that money, but use it strategically so you can live well. Use it as a foundation to build wealth too. But what has happened is that most of us stay stuck in that work condition our whole lives. So much so that it creates addition that it actually takes away from your health and your wellness. Because let's be honest, a lot of y'all are stressed out. You can't stand your job. You just dread going to work. I mean, I've heard people who, when they get closer to Monday and going back to work, their body actually responds to that. So it inhibits your wellness, and it also puts a cap on you where creating wealth is concerned. So I just wanted to kind of put that package around it. And we're going to talk about that dynamic as well. And, you know, we want to help you all position yourself to be free and to just experience living. All right, Tanika, I'm gonna shut up and let you flow. So tell us a little bit about your story, and I will cut you off sometimes if you say something that's powerful. I'm like, whoa, I'm gonna need you to clarify a little bit. But
you know, I'll drop some nuggets. So I'm gonna start where you started, the work to wellness to wealth. Like, that's powerful. So thinking about your question of where did this start? Like, where did travel start? So I'm Tanika Huey. I own Green Book Vacations. We're a I'll say boutique, right? Size, Black owned travel agency. I'm located in South Carolina. I have agents throughout the US.
Black owned, y'all. Black owned. Come on. We got an owner here, a CEO.
We own it. Right. We own this. Definitely, I keep this close to my desk. The company started from the Negro Traveler's Green Book. That's something that's personal to me and my family, a familial connection, as well as it historically what our ancestors had during Jim Crow to figure out how to navigate the southern region, right? How could they travel successfully for whatever reason? Where was it safe for them to get gas? Where was it safe for them to lay their head at night? So to hear stories from family members who, I have a 90 plus year old uncle who's here in Columbia, South Carolina, who is in his childhood home that was in this book that his mother ran as a bed and breakfast. And to hear those stories are powerful to know that
What was the book again? If you could hold that up.
The Negro Traveler's Green Book, right?
Wow.
This was in publication, I believe, from like 1940. I'll have to get the history of it from you. But definitely during the Jim Crow era. So there was a publication every year, and it was kind of like an atlas, because at this time, remember, our ancestors were in Jim Crow. So were we free? Yes. Were we in slavery? No. But could we do whatever we wanted? No. And in the South specifically, it was very unsafe for Black and brown individuals to navigate through. You don't know the cities that you're driving through when it's time to stop the car, because it's a two-day trip to drive from New York to here. You need to stop it for gas. Where are the safe places to do that, especially once you cross the Mason-Dixon line? So there was actually a guide for travelers, and you could look up the city that you were going through. You want to find a city in North Carolina. Where's a good place? Where's a safe place to eat, a safe place to sleep, a safe place to get gas? Where's a good barbershop? Because and we're talking one generation removed from us, right? My mom was born in 47. So we're talking about people who didn't have the luxury that I have today to get on a plane. My passport says I can go anywhere that I want, but going anywhere you want, the freedom that they got, which was no longer, first generation out of slavery, maybe didn't give them the freedom to navigate this country as they wanted to, because safety is of the essence, right? To be free, but to be unsafe is to not be free. So this guide was actually published every year with some.
Whoa, back up, bar. You said, say that again. To be free.
To be free and not be safe. Right? Is that the goal? To be free and not be safe? That's not freedom. You're just not in shackles. But you are in a cage still, because you're not free.
I told y'all we going deep tonight. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
So all that to say, that's why I own Green Book Vacations. That's why the name of the company is Green Book Vacations, because I am a generation. I've been blessed enough to be in a generation where I can navigate the world pretty freely. And also pretty safely. I'm primarily traveling as a solo female. I can navigate the world pretty safely. So what is the new generation of Green Book, right? So for me, it's very important that where my dollars are spent are valued, where my time is spent is to learn the culture of a location versus I'm just going on holiday to sleep in America in a different place, right?
I'm
expound on that. So we navigate outside of this country and we go to resorts, which are great. I love resorts, guys. Everywhere you go with me, we're going to be on a resort, probably an all-inclusive. I want to have fun too. I want to party too. I want to see the blue water. But the reality is, if you never step foot off of that resort, then all you've done is experienced America and another country. Nothing on that resort is telling you about the culture of the people. Right? If somebody's visiting America, they know nothing about my culture because they stayed at the Ritz-Carlton. They just know what the Ritz-Carlton had to offer.
Wow. Right?
So we have to do the same thing when we're entering other countries. So for me, you'll see our tagline in our company, we travel for the culture. We're going to enjoy the resort. We have to sleep somewhere, right? But we are going to get out and actually enjoy the culture of the people that we're with. The more that I've explored the culture of people and in the many countries that I've been to, hope to get to them all someday. But the more you enjoy the culture of the people who exist, then you have a new respect for humankind, which is something that we're not necessarily taught. Humans are way more alike than we are different. And you'll never know that until you start meeting humans that aren't like you. Right?
That's good.
You just never
know. We're more alike than we are different. And it's so crazy in this time that we're in now, people go out of the way to highlight the differences
to
keep us separated. But
humankind,
go ahead.
Humankind wants exactly what you wanted. Everybody in humankind, most, right? I haven't met everybody, but most of humankind wants to work hard. They want to take care of their family. You know, they want to provide. They want to enjoy the same hierarchy that you're saying. This is what humankind wants. And when you see more of humankind that doesn't look like you, didn't grow up like you, was from a different complete cultural background, regardless of even, you don't even speak the same language, but you realize our core human values are the same. One day this world will get to the place where human values are more important. Right now, all our other values seem to be taking precedence, especially as we stand in our current climate. We're talking about values that human beings, we're species. Like, dogs can have a different breed, but the core of a dog is a dog. The core of a human is a human. And so travel has allowed me to do that in a green book way, because I want to be able to navigate this world in a safe way that is free. Now, to circle back to your initial question, how did I get here, right?
Before you go to that, can you just tell us, do you know how many different places, countries have you traveled to? I just want you all to get a sense of how exposed.
I had a count. I started collecting, ironically, patches from every country, and I need to get them put on a bag so that I can keep count. But country-wise, maybe 50 easily.
50 countries.
Yeah. So
you have a global perspective. We'll get to that. But but go back to your story.
I haven't been everywhere yet. Listen, my bucket list is to touch every ocean and every sea. So once I'm there, then I feel like I arrived. But to say from a work perspective, how did I get here? I actually got here through work. So travel was something that I did while we were, like, basically right when we were leaving Carolina. So I don't know if you recall, but I'm from the West Coast, went to school here in South Carolina. And to be able to get back and forth home as a broke college student, right at the end of graduation, I started working for an airline. And the perk was I could fly for free. At that time, I'm an only child. My mother was on the West Coast. I could fly her to me for free. So it was work. Right? It was work. And just always been anything I do well. So I learned one of the programming systems that this airline used, which was a critical program for another corporate travel agency that did all the military travel. And so when I left the airline, they needed somebody that knew how to run this system, which is, it's super antiquated and not easy to learn. And I just did. So I basically walked into another job that they were like, listen, if you can show up and people who had worked with the airline had put in a word unasked, right? They were just like, this girl knows it. And the boss basically was like, listen, if you can show up and you can work this system, you're hired. So as soon as I graduated, I had a job, not in my field, but a job, right? Because that's what we all need after graduation. Like, where do you go when you live? Like, we have real bills to pay now. Now I'm a real grown up. And so I loved it. I stayed there way longer with degrees in public health that I felt like I wasn't using. And I only separated from that job because I was like, listen, I have degrees in a whole different field. And what are we told? Like, go get your degree and then go work in this area. And I had education. At this point, I had 2 degrees in public health and was working in travel.
that's a very important point. Did you get any pushback or any hecklers for that very reason, that you spent all this money to get degrees here and now you're going to work in the travel agency? Was that a source of conflict, the contention, or maybe even internally for you?
I think it was internally, because, you know, you're raised and you're taught, for me, to do well in school, to go to college. You know, at this point I had a master's degree. So I've done exactly what the success path is, right?
That default path is what I call it, yeah.
Right, the default path. And so for you, even on your work, wellness, wealth, put before that education work, that was the path that was to success. And so I think it was an internal conflict where I was enjoying what I was doing. I probably wasn't making near the money that I could make doing whatever my field was in, but I was enjoying it. However, the internal conflict of why did you go to school for that many years to not be doing what the degrees on your wall say do?
Come on now. How many of y'all can relate to that?
So I left. I left travel because I applied for a job that was in my field. That is the job that I have worked for the last now 17 years that I left 6 months ago to circle back where I started.
No.
And my path to wealth would have been much shorter if I had stayed on the path than what I enjoyed 20 years ago. I'll just be honest.
So what you're saying is that you placed a higher value on what you enjoyed and were passionate about over what you got educated and got your degree in.
Well, I didn't. I actually did the opposite. I placed a higher value on what I was educated in, which is why I worked for 17 years in a field that I also do enjoy, but wasn't passionate about. Well, I shouldn't say that. I was passionate about it until the point that it no longer became conducive to something that I am really passionate about, which is travel. And when I look at my life holistically, I was doing travel at the age of 21. Mm. So travel has been my path to wellness and wealth, that I really was on that track 25 years ago, right? But the me getting off course to do what I was trained to do through the education that I sought is way different than what I was meant to do. I think that's where I am in life. What you're trained to do, which is what you work at, versus what you're meant to do, which is why what your purpose is.
And that's good. And I think the important point that your story brings out, like, it's not necessarily a straight, fluid line. Both of them played a role, amount, because I'm sure that what you got educated in, it paid the bills for a while. But a lot of times, like I said in the opening, we get stuck there and most people never make it out. So I applaud you for making it out. So yeah, tell us, how did you make it out in a sense?
That's a short and long story. So I think what made me make it out was the second piece of your line, which is wellness. Mm. I started becoming unwell. Mm. I'm a very, very spiritual person. And when you can't find, I couldn't find for years. So those, anybody who's watching this that actually knows me knows, probably on a 10-year journey of like chronic pain and things that I was enduring that no medical practitioner could find a source for, right? I've had MRIs from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and there's nothing wrong, but I'm in chronic pain. Shortly after COVID, I went through facial paralysis. Like, why do I wake up one morning thinking I'm having a stroke? My face is just paralyzed. I can't move it. I was stuck in that mode for over a year and a half, to where one side of, I mean, still not totally there, but one side of my face just did not work. And every doctor is telling me, like, you're too young to be having these problems. And, you know, but you're saying I'm too young, but I'm having them. And there's there's no medical source of the problem. And so then at this point, you become, chronic pain will put you in a state of depression that you can't get out of, especially when nobody can tell you why you're in pain. And doctors start looking at you like you're, and I was like, I don't want pain pills. I want to not be in pain. Tell me how to fix it. So that depression makes you feel like nothing is okay. And that made me seek therapy, because now I was very conscious, like, I'm depressed. And I'm thinking I'm depressed from the pain. I have to give all the, the kudos to my therapist, or for the spiritual world, for aligning me with the right therapist who allowed me to see maybe, because pain is as a result of something going wrong. But we associate that has to be something physically going wrong versus something mentally going wrong.
Ooh, very important.
Right? So when the brain is telling the body to shut down because you're doing everything that you need to do, but the brain is not healthy and the path that you're on is not feeding your brain, therefore your brain is going to tell the rest of your body to hurt, and signals and nerves are going to be misfiring because the brain is not healthy. So it led me to start examining what, and of course, during COVID, we were all home. During the time that I was home is when I relaunched the travel agency. I went from corporate travel and I did other things, worked for Disney and cruise. I always kept like a little piece of travel going, like a little part-time job, a little fun money to keep the bills paid. And I was like, hey, you know, it's COVID. Actually, ironically, I was working for the cruise line during COVID. And been there a long time, know how to do everything, but I could see the writing on the wall. There were no cruises going, but I was still working because I knew how to use the systems. And we had to rebook all the people for all these cruises that were, now it's extended. Now it's extended. You know, cruises were closed longer than anyone. Yeah. And I was like, you know, Tanika, eventually work is going to run out, right? Eventually you guys are going to have rebooked the last person. Then what are they going to do? Because they're laying people off. I'm still here because of how well I can work. because the work keeps you there, right? The reality is the work was going to run out for the cruise line. And I'm a single mom, so I needed two sources of income. So I remember sitting and was like, oh, it'd be so cool if I, you know, had my own travel agency. Wonder what that looks like. Started investigating it, started working on it. I think at this time, the cruise line, I used to work them in the evening. We were down to maybe like 15 hours a week. And I was normally working 25 to 30. So I'm because there's not as much work. And I remember just sitting there, I was like, you know what? During this downtime, I started calculating what I was making from that job at this point, because I'm working way less hours. And I'm trying to fit those into my life and schedule. And I was like, you know, God, what if I gave those same 15 hours a week to really studying on what it would take to launch this travel agency once travel is back? Because I've been in travel long enough that I was there through September 11th. Everything bounces back, you know, it was down. I was like, I'm going to spend 15 hours a week rather than worrying about that extra money. I'm going to, you know, I'll cut the budget some, you know, we'll get more lean. I'll work without that 15 hours worth of money a week, because now it was such a small amount of money because I wasn't working. And let me put that 15 hours a week when I come home from job number one into really figuring out how I'm going to do this new venture, which is start a travel agency.
Let's unpack. You said, girl, you're saying so much here. Number one, an important point that I want to bring out that you made is that you didn't necessarily have the mindset that I have to leave my job to be able to start my own business. Like, you just took and you took whatever time that you had. And we want you all to get this. A lot of times I talk to people and they think like, well, I don't have any time to do anything else. Or, you know, I'm not good at being an entrepreneur, but start with what you have. So like, she had extra 15 hours. If you have 1 hour and 30 minutes, take that time and begin investing it in something else that you
yourself. Something for you.
Invested in you. Now, when you first had that thought, I wonder what would it be like to have my own travel agency? Did you have any negative self-doubts or self-talk that you had to overcome that, like, can I really do this? Or were you confident, just like, you know what? I know these systems like the back of my hand. I know I could go out there and kill my own business.
So, no. I mean, I'm my own hardest critic or own worst critic. I didn't enter it necessarily with self-doubt. I entered it like you enter work and was like, hey, whatever little money that I'm making that this little part-time job is supplementing that's going to go away, could I make that through travel? I didn't enter it with this grand expectation. I've always had two jobs since I left college. And it was like, hey, let me just find a new second job, but do it myself. I'm a studier by nature. And so I remember how much I loved travel, how much I love everything about travel. It doesn't stress me out at all. And I was like, I'll just do it for myself. And then I'll have a little more flexibility on the times, because I've always worked for someone else. And as someone else, you work on their time. And so I was like, well, in the evenings, I'm missing out so much with my daughter and, you know, she's growing up. And so let me try to see if I can make my evenings free, because I'm still working 8 to 5 every day. Right. So 8 to 4:30, I worked. I live like 5 miles from my job. And from 5 to 10 every night, I worked whatever part time job. That's been my life for years. That's good. And so I was like, all right, so for 3 days a week, I'll give myself time to study this. What was probably the turning point, and this is all during COVID, so travel's down, right? So within 60 days of me having the idea, I launched, right? Like, I'm a person like, let's read about it, let's do it. Like, not thinking anything of it, like, let's just get all the X's and O's in order. What's it like to own a business? What things do you need to have? You know, what get your EI in, you know, set this up, because I'm going to be ready for whenever we come out of it. That was my thought.
And that's good for that person who gets stuck in analysis paralysis.
Yeah,
like, you can have the greatest plans. You can have the most grandiose dreams, but things don't move forward until you take action and execute. So I love that part of your story. It's just like, okay, I can study and learn, but let me get my EIN number. Let me set up this LLC or whatever the case may be. So yeah, put action to your study and your dreams. That's good. Go ahead.
So I will give this. I had set it up, I think officially it was like July of 2019. Now, I lost a very important person in my life around April of 2019. It was really hard for my family. So at that time, I set it up, not doing anything with it. I will give the perfect example of how God will put you where you need to be. So October, I think it was of 20, yeah, it was October of 2019, I got to attend the Tyler Perry opening for his studios in Atlanta.
Oh man, I saw that. That was
display of Black excellence I had ever seen. And you know, I'm feeling like a nobody in the room, right? Nobody. I'm somebody else's plus one. I'm escorting actually my aunt there, who's a guest. And you know, I'm just enjoying it because it was just such an inspiring thing. But to say all this to say, and I made a video about this on Facebook early on with some clips that I took that night. But one of the we were like in a little lounge area, you know, having like a little social hour before the event. And we're talking like, listen, I've touched Oprah. Like I have lived, right? Like I was like, I touched Oprah. You don't have to do anything else with me. But we were in the lounge area and Tyler was giving just a little tidbit on like where he started. Right. He had very, very humble beginnings. All of us have kind of heard his story.
Yeah.
But I remember and I will never forget the words that he said. And he had videos going around and like the first car, you know, that he was sleeping in during his plays. And he said all he ever wanted was to write a play and have people come see it. That was his dream. Mm-hmm. He's like, I was successful once the first people ever came to a theater and saw my play. Mind you, we're at a studio that he's opened, the first Black owned movie studio, which is huge. But what he said is the dream that God, well, what God has for you is bigger than what you could ever dream.
Mm. Say that again.
What God has for you, it's beyond your dreams. You're not even dreaming what God has in store for you because you don't have the capacity to dream what he has for you, right? Your dreams are nowhere near as vast as his are. So Tyler was happy with the play. And whether we agree with everything he's put out or not, we can't mistake that this is a self-made man who's a zillionaire. But his dream, his goal was to write a play and have people come. He said there, because when he built, he showed a video of him and his son building the cornerstone of the studio, bearing the Bible. He's very religious. And he said, you know, everything else that you see around you is what God had for me because it was never my dream.
We got to dream bigger, y'all. Right?
He's like, and that was that what you just said was exact the words that came on the screen. Dream bigger. He's like, the vision for tonight is to dream bigger because the reason we are where we are is because we're refusing to dream as big as what God has for us. We're only dreaming for what we think we are deserving of or what we have for ourselves. So I remember
other people tell you that you can have. And I mean, and we talked a little bit about this before we jumped on, but we get so trapped and in bondage to the labels and the identities that this world puts on us, other people puts on us. Like, you know, you're Black, so your life has to look like this. It has right. to be limited to this. And I know we're going to get to this in a second, but just when you see yourself in a different context and you start to experience and see more than this little box that we live in called the United States, it just opens you up to a whole new level of possibilities of what life could look like. But I digress. Back in Tyler's Perry, we got to dream bigger. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that evening, sitting with my aunt, who, you know, like a second mom, and I remember telling her, like, I haven't told anybody this, but let me tell you what I started, you know, some months ago. I've been working on it. Hadn't told anybody, right? She's the first person that I told. And she was like, oh, okay, that's great. She wasn't like discounting it or anything. She was just like, that's great. Anyway, when we left that, you had to be at the event to see it, but basically we were in a sound stage and then the doors open. It's like an airplane hangar and there was a red carpet going, you know, Oprah, choir, everybody, you know, standing next to Callan. I'm standing next to, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce. Like we're walking out the door and we happened to be in the sound studio for the person that we were there as the honored guest of. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm a huge believer of the spiritual world. I was like, wow, it's so crazy that we were in his sound studio when I told you what my dream was, right? Nothing else of it. Went on, you know, happy to be there, happy to spend some time with my family on the East Coast because normally I'm going there. Everybody went on back to their life. I came on back churning away. We entered 2020 because this is 2019, right? So we haven't shut down. We entered 2020. So January 1st, 2020, I had it in my head. I'm going to announce to the world I'm starting, right? I already had, business has been existence for almost a year, but I announced to the world. And I mean, what happened within 90 days of January 1st, 2020, right? The world was shut down. There was no
right around the time where you was getting ready to do the grand
reveal. I'm ready to go. And so the world shut down. And
that could be a Debbie Downer. How did you deal with that?
You know, and you're like, gee, look at you, smarty, starting a travel agency and now nobody's traveling. That was a grand plan, you know, like everybody's going to book with you. But I honestly never had that perspective. I never worried about it because I wasn't relying on it as my income. I work a job. I have a career that I've been at for years. I manage like 16 counties. I'm good. So I just churned away. You know, I was like, hey, you know what? I was talking to people about small things they could do during COVID. Of course, one of the good side effects for COVID for travel was, you know, flights got really cheap, right?
True.
And so we live in, you know, Will, you don't live here now, but you've been in South Carolina. So, you know, everybody here goes to Myrtle Beach, you know, maybe down to Orlando, very limited scope. And I remember telling people, dude, I can get you to Blue Water for the same price that it costs you to go to Myrtle Beach. Because during COVID, Myrtle Beach was still expensive because everybody was traveling domestically. I was like, listen, if you're not scared of the pandemic, like you can get on a plane and like see way bigger or way better. Because the water in you know, the Caribbean is much better than the water at Myrtle Beach. So I came at it from that standpoint, like, hey, you know, for this same price, and it's going to be all inclusive, for this same price, you can do this. And I got a lot of people traveling during COVID. So this is 2020, early 2021. By the end of 2021, travel is very back-ended, so you don't get paid till after, right? So 2020, I'm booking all this stuff, but not thinking about it still. Small little money come in. Oh, that's great. I can put another payment on, you know, my daughter's senior year is coming up. I can, you know, pay on this and pay on these fees. And it was nice to have some income coming in, but it's COVID. So, you know, we're home. We're not spending a lot. And 2021 came and we're still in COVID. Cruises are still shut down. I've been working at this now for 2 years and learned so much about it. And I'm really hitting a target audience of people who have never left this country at all. And travel is still kind of affordable because we're still in COVID, right? You still have to take COVID tests to come back. And so I, long story short, I looked at the end of 2021. At the end of 2021, what I had received when I got my 1099 from travel was, I think, even or just a little bit more than what I was making in my career.
Come on now. Let me ask you this. How were you feeling health-wise at that point in time? I know you had the...
Well, health-wise, I'm horrible, right? I'm horrible. I'm on work mode because I have to work because I'm a single mom and I have to pay the bills. Right. Okay. I got a child coming up on her senior year and she plays. Yeah, I'm in work mode. So even the travel piece, it was fun doing it. But for me, it was just a way to make some money. I really didn't realize until the end of that year how much I had made. Right. Because you're not, you know, we're talking about finances here because you're not looking at the finances like that. Sometimes when you're in work mode, my 9-to-5 check comes twice a month, it pays the bills, this extra income. I wasn't really paying attention that, hey, I have this extra income sitting over here. Probably could have done much better if I had paid attention to how much was coming because I should have been in a grand place, right? Because I just doubled my income in 1 year, but I wasn't because it was just like, oh, fun. And, you know, my second job has always been the fun money, right? The money that we can go do something as a family. We go eat out when we could have cooked at home. That's what it was. It was after that.
With what you just said, sometimes we just think like, oh, if I just get more money, then everything will be fine. And, you know, you can do all these little different things. But you saying that you had more money coming in, but you didn't necessarily have the financial literacy or wherewithal of how to strategically use it. So it's not always.
If you don't know what to do with it, or you, especially if you're not expecting it, it was trickling in. It was, you know, there'd be a big chunk. Now, don't get me wrong. I was smart enough to like, oh, I paid down a credit card. You know,
yeah,
I had enough sense to say you have some extra income, you pay off some debt. But that was as far as my reach of it went because I wasn't thinking, oh, I have a business and my business is making this money. I was thinking I created something that's a second job. It also pays me. Remember, I've always had the second job. Right. Mm. Always had some money coming in. So it was just another second job. It wasn't like I was embracing it as a business until, like I said, the end of 2021, when I saw that 1099, because at first I was like, oh, crap, I gotta file taxes. I made a lot of money. Like, wait a minute, but did I make this kind of money? So I had, so in 2022, my mindset was, oh, you've got to really be a better steward of your finances, because this is a business. This is not like when you worked a job and they took taxes out. Businesses don't. Right. Oh. So to get a 1099 that you made twice as much money, but you didn't pay twice as many taxes, I was like, oh, I'd made that much money. Oh, I wasn't prepared for a 1099 to say that I made that much money. I wasn't doing the right thing with it to put it in the place to not be hindering to me.
But you still had to pay taxes on that money. So you would have to have put money aside the whole, that is very important.
No money. When you work for yourself, there's no taxes coming out of the check that they're sending to the government for you. So that was my first year of that, and offset that. And I was like, oh, 2022, I'm going to be way more conscious of, you know, the money that's coming in and what's going out. I also had partnered with an agent at that time. So 2021, we partnered. Unfortunately, he passed early 2022, very unexpectedly. Wow. So then I was like swamped with work. I had all of my work. That all these trips, because in 2021, I booked all these trips. These people are going in 2022. And then all of his work fell on me. And then I was like overwhelmed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm leaving work, job number one, running home to like, listen, my family, God bless them. That's why you will always see us travel now, ate way more fast food in the year 2022 than even is humanly acceptable. Because the best I could do was run through the drive-thru on the 5 mile drive from home, from work to the office to here, run through the drive-thru, grab something, throw it on the table. You eat it, because I'm running in the office, because now I'm absorbing two agents worth of work because he's passed.
Wow.
And during that year, the end of 2022, I'm prepared to for the money that I'm making now, and I'm seeing what the money is. So it's definitely changing. Like 2022, I think, was my daughter's senior year. Now it's becoming life-changing money, because like I've gotten through her senior year, she's starting college, I've bought her a car. Like, none of these things are something that were even on my dream list, right? Because I'm a single mom with one major income, part-time money to, you know, keep some things afloat and have some fun. So now I'm realizing, like, wait a minute, I have the income to do things that I've never been able to do.
So at that time, did you also start thinking, going into that next year, okay, I need to increase my knowledge where finances are concerned because I have all of this money coming in?
Definitely that started in 2022, because now I had to educate myself on what is it like running a business that's making this type of profit, right? Mm-hmm. What things are business write-offs? What things do I need to keep track of? What things, you know, and I can't remember what I had watched, but it was even about the amount that I needed to save and reinvest into the business, because now I was very clear on what the business could do, but businesses need capital. So I was like, okay, let me take this much of the profit. That's the capital for next year. Let's get started, because travel's very, like, I'm already booking right now, 2026. Travel's very the next year, right? So 2022, I'm realizing it. My daughter graduates mid-2022. She starts college, and I'm like, whoa, I see it. And not only do I see it, I've been swamped with two people's worth of work. I don't want to say I'm overwhelmed, because I never was, like, tired, right? I'm working all night. I'm coming home from the main job. I'm working 5 p.m. to midnight every night, Monday through Friday. I'm in here on the weekends churning away, trying to learn more about business and keep people's trips and keep them going. Mm-hmm. All that to say, at the end of 2022, and I'm expecting it at this point because I know what I'm making, the end of 2022, that 1099 was double what the career had ever paid me.
Wow. And it's now amazing you didn't go into it with the expectation of, okay, I'm going to do this until it doubles my salary. You were just busy about doing the work. And that's such an important lesson. A lot of times we get so fixated on the end result that we want. But if you just get about doing the work of what you need to do, those results just showed up organically from the work that you were doing. That's good.
Right. And it wasn't feeling like work. Remember, I feel like I'm going to work 8 to 5, and I'm coming home doing something that, even though it can be stressful, that I enjoy doing. So I'm up till midnight, and the only thing that's bothering me is when it's time to wake up for the job. That minute was more noticeable, that the job was not giving me the peace. I was working harder in the business than I was ever working at the job, because the business never stopped. The business was 5 to midnight every night, and all day Saturday and all day Sunday, which was way more hours than I was giving to the job. Way more work than I was giving the job, because my job wasn't physically taxing, but I'm not feeling fulfilled at all when I go sit at the job. So by the next year, I'm sitting at the job feeling like I'm missing the money from the business. Like if I wasn't sitting here between 5, I could be doing more, but I can't because I'm stuck in the job.
Ooh, very pivotal point. So now you have a decision. You got a conflict that's coming up now because my passion is paying me more than my job, but we get so used to the security of the job. Can't go.
Gotta have a job. But the job can't go because we have to have a job, right? That's what we're indoctrinated. You have to have a job.
Job security. We gotta keep this
happening. Nobody leaves a job, especially not after 16 years. Who leaves a job after 16 years? You're fully vested. I work for the state, right? So that's all I heard. And I'm like, and I never was even entertaining leaving the job. I remember somewhere, to the testament of how did I get here? You know, we talked about this prior. Some of it was looking at who I created in my child. At this point, she's a sophomore in college. She's a young lady. Her generation's values are different than ours. And we often say that they're lazy, or that, you know, their work ethic isn't as strong. And that is somewhat true. But that is one thing that I definitely, because I'm a manager, so I'm dealing with all different generations. And we're now at the point where we're struggling with hires because the generation that I'm hiring is my daughter's generation, right? Mm. And that's what they're being labeled as. But when I looked at my own child, what I realized is what they also don't have is the ability to hold on to something that's not pleasing to them.
I've heard that a lot.
So they go off of they're the first generation to be completely have a complete worldview. They've had access to the entire world their entire lives, right? My daughter's always had access to talk to anybody in the world she wanted to with the click of a button. She's not going to stay at a job like our parents did for 30 years and hate it for 25 of them. She's going to hate it for 10 minutes and say, that's not for me. Let me find something else. We were never trained to do that. The cycle was education, work, wellness, wealth, right? So work is where we got stuck. We got education and we got to work. And our ancestors, our generation before us, you work and you work there 30 years and then you get your retirement. And that's how you live.
And you know, you said something I want you to touch on before we got on. You was like, they never really knew leisure or vacation or enjoyment. It was just about survival and work. Can you touch on that too?
I will. So when we spoke a little while, I was saying we were trained, we were indoctrinated, education, work, right? And the reason our generation was so indoctrinated by education is because we were probably only the first or second generation that was afforded the ability to be educated. Right. Our grandparents weren't allowed to be educated. So for our parents who may or may have not been educated in higher education, but even if they weren't, they worked their finger to the bone to be able to provide for us to be educated, because to them, that was the out. Right. You don't have education, so you're never going to be eligible for a better job. But at that point, we are only 2, maybe 3 generations removed from people who worked for free. Right. Mm. So our grandparents worked hard for a little bit of money. Our parents worked better, but didn't have as good of an education. So we're the generation who get them more educated so they can get a better job. I have very few friends that weren't taught education. I don't care if their parents worked in a plant their whole life. Education was what they would work themselves to the bone for.
That is so good. And I don't mean to cut you off, but what you said, I've never heard before. A couple of generations removed, work hard for free. Work hard for survival. A few generations removed, work hard for a little. Then we have access to education. Get education.
Work hard to get educated.
Work hard to get educated so you can get some more money.
So you can make more when you work, right?
Yeah. And that was the key to freedom.
The key to freedom is the money, because that's the only thing that we never had access to. So we thought, right?
The key
to freedom. So our forefathers, right, our 3 generations above us thought the key to freedom was having your own money. Because if I was in slavery, if I was enslaved and I was freed, I had nothing. So what is me being free with nothing? Right? I can't make any money. I can't do anything. So I'm having to learn to do things and work. And then when I learn work, or I learn to plant, or I learn to garden and I make money, or I'm trading that commodity, my skill set became my commodity. But then that next generation, remember, your generation never wants to do what you did. So that next generation doesn't want to work in the field like their dad did.
I know that. That was me.
Right? Like, I'm not going out there picking any watermelons. You know, like, that's not, but your dad did that to trade, because the commodity was the trade. The commodity was their skill. That's all they had. They didn't have access to a job that paid them like somebody else was paid. They had access to a skill. So they used their skill to barter and get what they needed. So that next generation was like, nah, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go in that field, right?
But you know, the key thing that shifted there, they were self-sufficient in the fact that they worked from their talents, their skills and ability, tilling the ground. We build things. You know, we have this trade as skill as an apprentice, where when we transferred to the job, we became more and more dependent on things outside of ourselves.
True. But and so I always give my ancestors slack on where they came from. So that first generation out of slavery who depended on their skills, that's all they had. So that was still off of survival. That wasn't off of knowledge. That was off of what else do you do, right? Because they don't have any generations that they remember that weren't giving their skills up for free, right? The tenets of what we have as a country were built on the skills of people who look like me. We've always had the skills. We never knew the skills could give us survival and wealth, because those skills were being used for somebody else's wealth when our ancestors were enslaved. And then when they were no longer enslaved, those skills were being used for survival.
Now you make another good point. And so think about the self-concept of the identity that our ancestors took on. So you were brought over here, not looked upon as a person, an individual, or a human being. You're a means to an end. You're property. Right.
You had the skills, though. Those enslaved people knew they had the skills. How did they not have the skills to keep doing what they were doing for hundreds of years and being the one inventing the things to make this work easier? See, they didn't take the skills from that generation, right? But why, if I'm enslaved, would I teach my next generation skills just for them to have to work harder? Because they have the skill. I'm gonna teach them to work less. Like, just do the minimal. Because the more you know how to do, the more they're gonna keep you here and you know, force you to stay in this area because they want your skills. The skills have always been the core to survival. Our skills are what will always, our purpose, all of us have an innate set of skills that are different than the person next to us. And that is what will always keep us. But we learn to use those skills for others. Right. So our parents are thought key is education, because what their parents didn't have was education. That's why they had to work all day and all night. And when they got 80, they couldn't work anymore. They didn't have anything. Right. So now we're going to get educated. And I've been working in this factory for 30 years and I'm going to make sure you're educated. So we were still taught. We were taught the right things in the wrong order. Right. I realized
say that again. Make it the right. Wrong order.
Listen, Gerard, let's be honest. We went to school, we went to the same college. There were a lot of people that we went to college with that did not look like us, that were only at that school to get the degree on the wall because the wealth was already there. Right? They weren't going to go give their skill set to someone else. Their skill set was going right back to the family business. They could have been given the family business without the degree, right?
You going deep.
It was education in the wrong order. We thought the education was the end to the means. The education allowed us to give up, to refine our skills, because I will always be skilled. There's nothing you can do to take a human's skills away, right? And so the education taught us to be higher level skilled, higher level thinking. And then who were we taught to give those skills to? Who am I giving the skills to when I work a job? Not to me.